If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Jeff Hathorn, Jim Colony, Sean Myers, and Doug Whaley here on the Fan. Thank you for coming in on New Year's Eve.
This is great. Hey, and you learn really quick, obviously, in football and in the sports industry. You're living a holiday. So holidays, working holidays, it means nothing to me.
I don't know about you, but like, when I talk to college students, one of the first things I tell them is, you know how you sit at home and watch those football games on Thanksgiving and the NBA on Christmas? You're working those days.
Right, right. And that's why I tell you, because when it's funny, I still get a lot of inbound information and people reaching out to me on LinkedIn and I want to get in the sports industry, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, one of the things you got to understand, though, is you can't just say, yeah, it's my grandmother's 90th birthday. I'm going to take off and I won't be here today. No. Once the season starts, there are no off days unless it's a death in the family or you're on your deathbed. You're coming into work. And like you said, a lot of people just don't get it. They see the finished product.
Right.
They don't understand all the work that has gone in behind the scenes to put that game on, be it in the stands, on the TV, or even us talking about it on New Year's Eve.
You know what? I worked, not most, but I worked many, many holidays, particularly Thanksgiving, like doing high school football games back way back in the day, and covering college football games. Like when I first came here, Pitt and Penn State played that weekend every year, which kind of missed those days.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Steelers around Christmas and Celtics had games on Christmas Day, stuff like that. Anyway, I still feel sorry, though, if I have to stop at like Sheetz, if I'm going into work on a holiday, like on my way into work on Thanksgiving, and then I have to stop into Sheetz, and I feel sorry for those people that are working when in fact, but again, what we've done for work is what other people would love to do.
Only thing about those people at Sheetz, they're getting time and a half. We still get regular
that's
pay.
True. We don't get that bump.
Yeah, well, right, you came in when we were doing the top. What do you think of that top 10 list? Or would you change the order of any of those?
I think I would have put Crosby as number one.
Really?
Just because that's Aaron Rodgers is going to be here for a year, maybe two. I mean, Sidney Crosby, the joy he's brought this city and the accomplishment of that of what
passing
he did
Mario.
Passing Mario. I mean, I don't think I'll see it in my lifetime, that record broken of anybody on the Pens. So that's just to me.
But 20 years ago, we all would have said, man, we're never going to see anyone pass Mario's record.
True, true.
See, I would have gone Skeens first. Just because it's new. The Sid thing, not to diminish it, obviously, but it's just you knew it was going to happen. Does that make me? I don't know. It's a different perspective in terms of it's a mark that you knew once he got to a certain point that he was going to. It was going to happen. So does that make that? But in terms of an accomplishment, you know, maybe that is number one. An accomplishment in terms of a story for the year. I don't know.
I guess that's the way. If you look at it just for this year, then I totally agree with you. And I'm just encapsulating his whole career.
Right.
So.
No, I get it.
Yeah.
And I look at Aaron being number one as Aaron. Whoever would have thought that Aaron Rodgers would be a Pittsburgh Steeler? And then given all that's happened over the last couple of years and all the stuff that's out there on McAfee, like that's never going to work. There's no way he's going to be a Pittsburgh. And here he is, and he's 9-6 as a starter, was still not the greatest roster. He still shows he has it.
Mm-hmm.
But that to me is why I looked at that as number one, because, damn, Aaron Rodgers. It's just something I never would have thought would have happened.
And that's why I always tell everybody the best reality TV in the world is sports.
Oh, there's no question.
I mean, just look at the game.
The only reality
watch.
TV.
Yes. I mean, that's appointment watching. You have to. You're not going to sit there and go, oh, I'm going to watch this rerun of this game. I mean, we still do, but there's nothing better than going to a game or seeing a game live because you never know what's going to happen.
I do miss being in a press box for stuff. both stuff where we would laugh at, like the Cleveland game where the guy had, there were four fouls on the play all against the Browns on a punt. I just always remember that, just kind of laughing at stuff. And yet at the same time, and I'm sitting at home by myself on the couch, and you mentioned the Gainwell play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just sitting there watching the game. All of a sudden, I just yell out, holy crap.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife's like, what happened? I'm like, you see this, and she doesn't care. But it's just like when you see stuff you've never seen before, and that's why I said, I remember talking about Sid when he, and well, Mario, that goes without saying. But when Sid first came along the scene, it's like you had to be there because you're going to see stuff that you haven't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I remember that. And when you see, and nowadays in the NFL, my goodness, the catch that Nacua made the other night.
I was about to say
which
that.
Is a catch.
That was a catch.
And you know, that they didn't look at that. And MVS got interfered with at the last play in Cleveland. They didn't look at that. But anyway, I'm just seeing when you see stuff that you've never seen before, and you look at all these guys that can do different things, and that's what makes it, you know, sometimes you lose sight of, become so cynical about the money that's involved and everything else, and like, this guy's a jerk. Because we deal with these guys on a basis, and Doug, know more than maybe we do when it comes to that kind of stuff, because we deal with athletes more peripherally. But you lose sight of the fact that, holy crap, are these guys good at what they do?
Yeah. And I always, every once in a while, throw out Whaley words of wisdom. And being in sports and just looking at life in general, Whaley words of wisdom, if you're the top at what you do in whatever profession, that doesn't mean you're a good person. So appreciate the skill set, but be a fan of yourself. Because you're a fan of somebody, they can ultimately let you down. If you're a Stephon Diggs fan right now, you're like, wait a minute. So appreciate their skill set. Don't think just because they're the best at what they do or very good, that means they're a very good person. Just put it all in perspective.
They always ask, what's the biggest question you get, Jeff, about people? What's he really like?
What's he really like?
And then what's your answer? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you don't.
No, I tell them exactly what they're like through their 20 minutes with us. No, I'm just joking.
he's the greatest guy ever.
Well, unfortunately, and what I think a lot of these guys don't realize is the narrative that goes out there a lot of times depends on what is seen, whether them in public, them at training camp where fans could see them, or the time we get around them in that media room, rightly or wrongly, becomes their persona.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you that when I got hired as an intern by Tom Donahue at the Pittsburgh Steelers, he said, Doug, first thing I'm going to tell you is, in sports and in life, reputations are easy to get, hard to live down. So if you get that reputation early, it's hard to discredit it, be it good or bad.
We were looking earlier, Doug, at the Steelers stories of the year, beyond the Aaron Rodgers. It's like, man, TJ at $41 million. And some of the off-season moves. So how have these things played out over the span of a year between TJ, Janu, and Ramsey, and DK? I mean, Ramsey, especially moving positions, I think has been a really good addition. Mm-hmm. I think DK, beyond what he did,
I'd rank him too. Yep. After that?
Did they overpay for TJ? And did they double up or add somebody at a position they already had strength, but at the time they didn't know that Darnell was going to be this type of weapon? Maybe they should have seen it, but they didn't know it.
My question would be to the Steeler brass. What was the plan for Janu when you decided to go after him and sign him? Because when I was in the NFL, it was, okay, what are we looking for? Oh, we need another tight end. We may not know what Darnell's going to do, or this is what we have planned for Darnell. We need another guy. And then Arthur Smith, I'm going to use him this way. Okay, perfect. Then let's bring Jono in, and we'll match the compensation to what we think he's going to be used for and the production we think. So where is the disconnect there? Because he is not a focal point or even a point of emphasis in this offense, which everybody thought he would be, especially with his history with the offensive coordinator. So where is the disconnect? That's what I would ask.
I just told the wrong cook there. they're talking with the microphone off. But one of the things, I remember asking Bill Cowher this over 30 years ago when they had Eric Green. Okay. I remember asking him once, like, why don't you guys just line him up in the slot? Why don't you split him out? If he's that big and that, and he was kind of like, I mean, he was a lot like Darnell Washington.
When absolutely.
About it, with that big rear end and everything else.
Doubt.
And it's like, who's going to stop the guy? And I think the same thing with Freiermuth and or Smith or both.
Both,
is that
absolutely.
You're looking for another guy to complement DK Metcalf, who's going to be your guy, you know, on the sidelines. You get one-on-one matchups, throw the ball up there. If you want to get a mismatch off the line of scrimmage, what's more of a mismatch than one of those guys against a guy like Mike Hilton, who I love Mike Hilton, but I'm using him because he's the only little dude that I can think of who's like 5'10", who's a great slot corner, but there's no way he can match up against a big guy. No. Why not exploit that?
And that's when I first saw them signing Janu and with Freiermuth and with Darnell, I'm thinking, this is Arthur Smith's dream. There's so many mismatches you can put out there on offense that's going to put a stress on the defensive coordinator and their substitution. All right, let's go. You go 13 personnel, one running back and three tight ends. Most defensive coordinators are going to go heavy package because you're thinking you're going to run. Okay, you go heavy package. That means a more physical, less athletic linebacker, safeties that play the run better than pass. Okay, so those guys aren't good in coverage. Now you spit out Janu and Freiermuth and DK as a three wide set and attach Darnell, then you have them really, what are they going to do? You can still run and have an effective running game because you have that extra blocker in Darnell. Now you have linebackers and safeties on these athletic tight ends, which are really big wide receivers. So that's a mismatch. Now you pick your poison. Aaron Rodgers can check to a run, check to a pass, and you're stressing the defense. Okay, so now you split them out and you started throwing. Now they go in nickel. So now you have DBs on there trying to cover those tight ends. Shrink the formation and run. So that's what I was excited about, especially with Aaron Rodgers and his mental capability to be able to check, run, pass, and get them in situations. I thought this was going to be a very hard offense to defend from a defensive side of the
ball. It's crazy because Jono hasn't even had a 30-yard game.
Mm-mm.
He hasn't had a 30-yard game with the Steelers this year. And it's not like they haven't needed another receiver to go along with. It's not like they had four great receivers, like we were saying earlier, with the Young Money family, with that group and Hines Ward, where you had all these receivers and tight ends couldn't right. catch passes. That blows my mind. Yeah.
So, and that's why I would like to have been in that personnel meeting and saying, okay, what do we need? Arthur Smith said, love Jonnu Smith. I can do this, and with him. Okay, great. We're going to sign him. Now you got to hold Arthur Smith accountable and saying, and I'm not saying this happened. I would have to, right. I'd like to say, and I'm assuming, because that's how it usually happens, then I'd say, well, Arthur, next time you come to me and say, you need this, and this, how am I going to go out and put my neck on the line? Because I'm the one, I'm talking about Omar Khan signing this and going to Art and saying, we need this money. And now the guy doesn't even have a 30-yard game. Come on.
How did he get a reputation as a tight end guy? Everybody say, oh, he's a tight end guy. I haven't seen it in the 2 years he's been here.
Exactly.
Is anybody else? Anyone? Bueller?
Well, no. Jono was a big part of that. I mean, Jono was one of his guys.
Well, lately his big weapon.
Everywhere.
He's given him the ball like they do with Cordarrelle Patterson.
Well, yeah. And that's the thing that when you were saying about justifying, it makes it interesting is because the last couple of games, Caleb Johnson's been inactive and they've just decided, well, Jono will be our third tailback.
Mm-hmm.
As if we've got to figure out a way to get yep. him the football. So instead of throwing it to him, we're going to hand him the ball a few times.
Which I guess it's good work on Jonnu Smart if you get it. I mean, but I'm assuming, and I'd like to see Jonnu. Are you frustrated? What was told to you when you were getting brought in on a free agent visit? We're going to use you. Did Arthur said, you're my guy. We're going to do this like we did in Tennessee. Hey, you just came off of an 800-yard season with Miami. That's how we're going to use it. These are the questions I would be asking.
Well, and I don't know anyone's. Some of that is because Darnell has really exploded on the scene. Obviously, he's not going to play. So kudos to him. Like, he's taken some of that time away. But why can't you find other ways?
And especially when you don't have another receiving option.
Yep. Especially with Austin out too.
Yes. So that's my. When everybody's talking about, oh, they don't have a number two, wide receiver. I'm not disputing that. But that's where it goes to the offensive coordinator saying, you scheme up that second option between the plethora of tight ends you have and the running back with Kenneth Gainwell being a very dynamic receiving running back choice. And then the collection of wide receivers that you can put in a bag and pull out one. They're all the same.
Did we see much of, because I think it was in the Detroit game that we saw, it's almost like they used Gainwell and Warren the same way that Detroit sometimes uses Gibbs and Montgomery as the two guys in the same backfield. And I didn't notice as much of that in Cleveland, or was that because they were using Gainwell to Chip Garrett the whole time? Yeah. I mean, was there much of that two-back thing? I don't remember seeing it.
But I think for me, with that pass rusher, if you have that two-back set, then he's going to think run before pass. With him getting close to that sack record, he was playing the run on the way to sack the quarterback. But if you have that two-back set, now that puts, even if they don't chip, then it's just an easy dump-off if it's close. So you have a way to get out of trouble real quickly and real safely with these running backs just doing the flares or dump-off patterns.
Doug, before we move on to the game coming up, was Myles Garrett right in what he said after the game about the Steelers caring more about stopping him from getting the sack record than winning the game?
He is right, but the way he said it is putting it in a light that isn't true, I would say. Because if you don't focus on him, they're going to lose the game. Because he can wreck shop. He could wreck shop on your offensive production, and he could wreck shop on your season because he could plant Aaron Rodgers in the ground and hurt him. So, yes, they were focused on making sure he doesn't wreck the game. But to sacrifice winning is not the right. That's a path to winning, limiting his effect on the game. So, yes, but it's just the way a wordsmith and the way he spun it.
I mean, in order to get that path to victory, you need to minimize what Myles Garrett does. They did it in the first game and won.
Right.
The execution just was really bad. And Aaron had one of his worst games. I mean, you look at some of the guys he missed when you go back on the film.
And I'll say this. The last three games, even though he's played well, there's been a couple passes that I'm like, Aaron Rodgers, So I'm not surprised that he had a bad game because he is 42, and that's where that consistent level of production week in and week out is not going to be there. I just hope he can regain it this week and if they get into the playoffs.
You know, just real quick on the Myles Garrett stuff, I think from our perspective, and Jeff, you were at the game, but from watching TV, man, did Romo and Nance oversell the crap out of that narrative. They completely oversold it.
Yes.
And probably because that was a big thing in the production meetings.
And they probably had
and
clips.
And then Nance actually got all excited when somebody else sacked him. I can't remember what it was, like 91 or 92.
Yeah, 91, yeah.
And Nance went crazy, and then he realized, oh, wait a minute, that wasn't Myles Garrett. It was the other guy.
I'm sure they had a montage of all his sacks, and they were going to celebrate it. So they were obviously leaning into it in the production. Yeah,
absolutely. Hey, let's talk about that Ravens game as we continue. It's a Wednesday with Doug Whaley. It is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
So we keep getting teased for behind-the-scenes stuff that, all these tracks are labeled Crowley diss.
Was it Kendrick Lamar with a diss track?
I was waiting for Callis's voice on there with some kind of diss.
I agree. I was wondering, is it Crowley dissing or is he the one being dissed?
Or is this the background for the track?
Yeah, and then you have maybe. Perhaps.
Rap over it.
I'm sure Callis will have something hot to drop when he returns.
Oh, he's had all this time off. You know, he's drawn up some stuff to get at Crowley and probably vice versa. Steelers, Ravens, Sunday night for the AFC Championship. It's amazing that a scenario like this has only happened one other time.
I didn't know that.
In the AFC North, around since 02, where the two teams with the chance to win the title meet on the last game of the season.
Yeah, that's very surprising.
I was stunned when I heard that.
Yeah.
Because I just figured it came down to, and Cincinnati had some, there was a rise of the Bengals for a while.
So the Bengals and Steelers had this happen in 14, but the Bengals still made the playoffs.
Right.
So this one is different.
Oh, okay. Different. Like, yeah, that, oh, that's what I was saying.
Losers out.
Right.
Like, out.
So that's what I was saying. I knew there had to be somewhere. It was just more seeding, but both of them made. But one winning in or losing out, that's, yeah.
How many years have they been doing this where, because it wasn't always, I remember the Steelers having a nothing game. Well, that goes all the way back to Willie Parker, where there was a game in Buffalo,
yep.
Where they didn't have to win, and then all of a sudden Willie Parker's like, holy crap, this kid can play. And I don't know how many years it's been going on where they've had all divisional lineup games. And so they can play, and they can do it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so then we're, what was it, the Steelers, who are they playing? And then the Ravens playing the Browns up there, and everybody's outside looking at the TV, rooting for Baker Mayfield to sit there and knock off whoever, Cincinnati. And so it's, I guess it's come down to the last game, but not head-to-head winner, you know, you're in or you're out. I mean, that's pretty cool.
And I'll say this. I know a lot of people bash the NFL, think it's rigged, hate Roger Goodell. But if you look at this year and you're having three games that are very integral part of the makeup of the playoffs and how a lot of these teams were in it, in that playoff race until the last 2 or 3 weeks, as a league rep, that's what you want. Because guess what? Every fan base is still engaged. Every fan base is engaged all the way through, which means eyeballs, ticket sales, just love of the game is just perpetuated throughout the NFL ecosystem. That's what you want as a league, and that's why they get as much. That's why Roger Goodell gets $60 million a year. That's why they make billions of dollars, because they've created that parity for fans to feel, I have a chance.
You know what you don't want, though? Mm. Okay, we're at 17 games, and we all know it's going to 18.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what happened a week or two ago? Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
And there was another injury that I'm thinking about.
Have played.
Yes, and that's been going on for years, and it's going to happen anyway because of the nature of the sport. But the more games you add, like, okay, so if Kansas City somehow had won that game, and then they'd still been alive, and then Mahomes unavailable to play, mm-hmm. When you start losing your marquee guys, then because there are too many freaking games.
Oh, I agree with you.
And
you saturate the market after a while. As Mark Cuban said, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. I'm not saying that's going to happen anytime soon, but MLB used to be America's pastime for a while, and the NFL passed it up. So there's going to be a tipping point, and hopefully the powers that be understand that 18, don't go past that. And I don't think you should go past 32 teams, because there's not 96 quarterbacks out there. It's just not.
Right.
They're not walking this earth. And then talk about tackles and stuff like that. There's not that many human beings to keep the level of play at the highest level.
Jeff Hathorn, Jim Colony, Sean Myers, and Doug Whaley, our special guest for Wednesdays with Whaley. Man, there's so many different things. I want to go with this, though. When they go to 18 games, what are the players going to get?
The question I have, and it's been floating out there, is expansion of roster from 53 to whatever, expansion of practice squad. But there's been also talk about being able to, well, they're going to get a bigger slice of the pie.
Well, you need guarantees, I think.
They're going to get more guaranteed, which you're seeing this going that way anyway. So you're talking about, I wouldn't say fully guaranteed contracts, but guaranteed contracts for injury will be probably standard operating procedure. The question I have, though, with expansion of roster, all that, is it going to start mimicking the NBA where you have load management, where they say, well, we have 18 games. Ugh. I'm going to take Aaron Rodgers 40, 43. Let's say it's next year, 43. He's not going to be able to play 18 games. So I'm going to pick a game or two where I can make him inactive. He's still going to get his active pay, but I'm going to make him active just so we can win a championship. That's when
like the
media and the public are going to have an issue.
Like the old baseball oblique injury that it's like,
yes.
Because it's so hard to diagnose. Mm-hmm. And it can be a short injury.
Yep.
It could be longer, but it could be really short that oblique is bothering. Or there's an illness.
Yes.
That comes up and someone is unable to play. All right, when we come back, which head coach can least afford to lose this game on Sunday night? It's Wednesdays with Whaley here on 93.7. The Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. I was waiting for somebody to yell out, no?
What? Oh,
what? No. Oh, come on,
he didn't
Doug.
Have his headphones on. He wasn't listening.
He didn't have his headphones on. Jeff Hathorn, Jim Colony with Doug Whaley here at Wednesday with Whaley. All right, which coach really feels it with the loss on Sunday night?
In my opinion, it's more on Harbaugh because he has an MVP. He's had an MVP quarterback, and Tomlin has been struggling to find a quarterback, and the hardest position to find in the NFL is the quarterback. And once you have that, it's a lot easier to at least have a chance to get there. With the struggles that the Steelers had identifying, developing our quarterbacks since Ben Roethlisberger, you get a little bit more of a pass than if you have one. Similar with Buffalo and Sean McDermott. You have an MVP quarterback. If you don't start getting over the hump, there's nowhere else to look but in the mirror or at the head coach. So to me, it's Harbaugh.
Do you think at least we'd have to put a poll out there, and there was no way it would be scientific because we wouldn't have enough Baltimore people. But I kind of get the impression that if you asked Ravens fans who they'd rather have, they say they'd rather have Tomlin, and that a lot of Steeler fans would say they'd rather have Harbaugh. Right? In other words, you're sick of the guy that you've got.
Yeah.
And not because, and I know that we talked about James Franklin earlier and Penn State, and they got at the college level, they're even a higher level than what the Steelers have lately. And you know, people were sick of that. It's like, when are you gonna take us to that next step? And I think both teams are in pretty much the same position.
Mm-hmm.
But there's talk about that there's no guarantee, like what's gonna happen to Lamar Jackson after this season. Let's say, for example, okay, that he doesn't play on Sunday night. And the Ravens do what they should do anyway, which is just give the ball to Derrick Henry, and he just runs all over the Steelers, and they win the game. And then they've got a home playoff game against whomever, and they win that game. And it's like, well, we don't need him.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I just don't know what happens with him because his future might be up in the air because he's a couple years away from a contract and all this other stuff.
I wholeheartedly disagree. Now,
with
them saying they don't need him.
Okay.
Now, what I will get on board with saying is his skill set, does he have the ability to carry a team to a Super Bowl victory because of his skill set? That is more of an argument to me or discussion than do the Baltimore Ravens need him? Because in the end, in this NFL today, in the way it's constructed, I don't think you can run your way to a championship. I think you can throw your way to score points, but you have to be able to run to win. And if you can't throw to score points on a consistent
basis.
Throw
to score, run to win. That's been around for a long time.
Right.
Even before today's game.
Right. But more the way the rules are situated to enhance the passing game, I think, and protect the quarterbacks and promote scoring, I think it's even more critical now to throw to win, throw to score, and run to win. And I just don't know if, and he's proven, he's not a consistent enough passer to get them over the hump and win a championship.
There are half seasons where the Steelers didn't give up 516 rushing yards over 7-8 games. That's how many yards they've given up to the Ravens on the ground in the last two. Why would we expect different Sunday night? Or should we expect different? Or will it be different?
You hope for something different, but would you say two is a trend, right? Did Derek Harmon played last time? No, he didn't.
He didn't.
So the only way you can say is Derek Harmon. That's it right now.
And I can give you the Tomlin smart ass face of like, yeah, it's all Derek Harmon.
Right. I mean, that's the, if you really break it down, that's the only thing that you can say is going to be the difference maker. And if that's the case, then kudos to them because they knocked it out of the park with their first round pick. That's all I say. But I don't know.
How did they hold Detroit? Because they did earlier against Indianapolis. Like, I'm looking back on the a couple games that they had in a row against, Cincinnati and Green Bay, where they threw the ball all over the place, and then all of a sudden they play at Indianapolis. They had Taylor plus a quarterback that was playing well to that point, and yet they managed to shut them down and turn the ball over, I know, all over the place. I don't know if it's set up this way where they gave up all those rushing yards to Buffalo. They still ended up winning the game against Baltimore. I don't know.
Here's the answer. It's the mark of an average team. Average teams can throw out very good games once in a while, but they can't consistently do it. And they're, let me say, an above average team. Average teams can't. Above average teams can throw. You and I, every once in a while, I'll hit a drive right down the middle, 275. But that's maybe one out of 14 drives.
Me,
exactly. So one out of 14 drives. So that's what I'm saying. When you're an above-average team, that consistent level of high production isn't there. It's a roller coaster. And that's why I say. Right. Is it in there? Absolutely. Consistently? No.
All right. In our last segment coming up, as a former GM, I want to ask you, do you risk TJ Watt if he says he can play, but you have any concerns about his health going forward? That's next here on a Wednesday with Whaley on 93.7. The Fan text line. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Of course, a lot of people will be watching Ravens practice today. By the way, the 50-minute mark on The Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Our thanks to South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram for their sponsorship. We'll be watching to see who of the Steelers goes out there. Obviously, Lamar is going to be a big story in Baltimore. Mike Tomlin said yesterday he would be into a situational role for TJ Watt if he could return. Would you, if TJ says, listen, I can go, you have any question, you got to win the game, would you accept TJ in a situational role, or do you have to think bigger picture with him?
No.
Sorry about that. I did it.
There you go. Welcome to the club.
Yep. Yep. No, this is win or get in or go home. You got it. Now, situational, a DPR, really switch the roles, have him, use him like you use Herbig. And on passing situations or must-have situations, I would definitely use him because, again, this is it. Failure is not an option because if failure, you're cleaning out your locker the next day. So, absolutely. And he's getting paid $41 million. And he's the marquee player. And when he's in there, he can draw attention away from some other people. And the way Highsmith's been playing, especially last game, the more attention that you can get away from him and get him on one-on-one situations, I think is better for the Steelers as a whole, and especially the defense.
Well, situationally, he plays most downs, but I know it's frustrating for Steeler fans. You'll see there are certain sequences, though, where maybe the defense has been on the field for a long time, and we all know how he goes all out every time. There's no question about it. And yet you'll look all of a sudden, there'll be like a 3rd and 3, and you look over, they're on the opposing 20-yard line. They're driving in, and you look over, and TJ's on the sidelines. And you're thinking, wait a minute, this is like an important down right here. Why isn't he out on the field? They can withstand his absence, certainly in a situation like this. If he only plays – you know, 40% of the snaps, mm-hmm. they can get away with that, as assuming that Highsmith is healthy, Herbig's healthy, and then, you know, Sawyer's he's pretty good.
Well, and add to the fact, you think this is going to be a heavy run rushing attack by the Baltimore Ravens. That's where you use Sawyer. And then if it's passing situations, then you put TJ in there. So I think they're equipped with their depth to be able to use him in special situations.
I mean, obviously the Steelers could score 40 and lose in this game, but assuming they don't and they were to lose this game, is it too simple to say DK Metcalf's suspension cost them a division?
No, I would say the roster construction cost them a division. If I look at, case in point, San Francisco 49ers, is a receiver or quarterback more important to a football team? Brock Purdy missed, I think, four to maybe six games, and they're 12-4. So they had a roster composition that could make up for injuries. And Tomlin always says, we want to have competition because we want that level of expectation not to dip if that starter's gone. So DK Metcalf, where's the roster composition to make up for, let's say he was hurt. If he got hurt, is that, it's not his fault that he got hurt. And he was, I look at it as, I'm not condoning his suspension. Well, that's a different subject.
Right.
I'm looking at it as same as an injury. If he got hurt, would we say, oh, DK's injury cost us the playoffs? No, you'd say them not having another receiving option or being able to accentuate the other receiving options to win, to score more than 13 points, cost them the playoffs, my opinion.
How much can a crowd really affect? I know the home field and all this other stuff, but can a negative crowd? I just think there's going to be a negative undercurrent here, that there's going to be people that Steeler fans, and maybe it's just the way I think, because my wife always says I'm too pessimistic, that I just think people are going to go in there expecting the worst to happen. And how does that, can that carry over down to the field?
To me, championship teams are good teams. They feed off of that. Because then it goes, guess what? Everybody out there doesn't believe in us. Let's circle the wagons.
It's the old Heinz Ward?
Yes.
Thing.
Let's circle the wagons.
No one's giving us a chance.
Yeah, no one's giving us a chance. Only the people in this locker room believe in us. Our home fans don't even believe in us. The media doesn't believe in us. The national media doesn't believe in us. But we believe in ourselves. Let's galvanize and let's show them. I always think about, and this is the way my mindset works and championship mindset works, Goodwill Hunting. And it was talking about, I forget the actor.
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon was talking to Robin Williams about he was getting abused by his dad. And he'd come home, his dad would be drunk, and his dad would lay out a belt and brass knuckles and tell Matt Damon to pick one. And he goes, which one'd you pick? And he goes, the brass knuckles. Why? Screw him. That's the mentality you need to have to be a championship team and a championship viable option as an organization. And if our fans come in and blew us, screw them, because they're going to get on the bandwagon when we win. It's all about us. So yeah, if it carries on to the team and they cower and let it affect them, you got the wrong team.
It's a perfect place to end right there. So much more to talk about with Doug Whaley. We appreciate your time. Happy New Year, Doug.
Happy New
Year,
everybody.
Happy New Year.
Jim, enjoyed it?
Yes. Thanks for coming in.
You'll be in here on Saturday?
Yeah. He says very enthusiastically.
That was very enthusiastic.
You want it. You got to want it, Jim.
You're a champion, baby. Yeah, let's go.
Nobody's listening. Screw them. But yeah, 9 to 11, the old Bucco talk slot. Maybe we'll talk a little Buccos. Yeah, 9 to 11:30. You're right.
Sean, thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. Great show. Happy New Year.
Joe Starkey is up next with Charlie Borges. Ooh, can't wait for that. 10 to 2 right here on 93.7 The Fan. And Fan Weather, before I forget, is brought to you by the Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. It's snowing, and it's going to snow more later this afternoon, a high of 32. Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.